The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Today, we are going over the teaching of the God to do the getting service. And like I said, we want to be encouraged to go back and listen in to that word over and over and over again. And today we are going to try and, by the grace of God, distill things down further. Same text, and God will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, Paul would say to the people that for me to repeat these things, for me it is not grievous, and for you it is safe. So going over the word of God for us, it is safe. Hallelujah. So the rain, part four. So part four is part three expounded. Okay, so to get things started, and I want to put up a graphic that I saw on somewhere on the internet, and it was very interesting. So here's the graphic, and it's a question. It says that a farmer can plow a field. So we're talking about rain, we're talking about land, we're talking about farming, you know, and so it caught my eye. So it says a farmer can plow a field in 60 minutes. Another farmer can plow the same field in 30 minutes. If both farmers started doing it at the same time, how long will it take the farmers to do it together? Okay, so take a stab at that. Think about it. How long will it take? One farmer takes 60 minutes, another farmer takes 30 minutes, both of them doing it together will be how long? Who wants to go? Anybody? Anybody? So, pretty much, there are several ways to think about it. The mathematician would say, for instance, this is a simple proportion problem, ratios. So if one farmer took 60 minutes, another farmer took 30 minutes, it means that in 1 hour, 1.5 fields have been done. Correct? So in 2 hours, these farmers will have plowed 3 fields. In 2 hours, they will have plowed 3 fields. So both of them working together would plow 1 field in 2/3 hours. And that is how many minutes? So it means that both of them will plow 1 field in 2/3 hour, which is 40 minutes. That's what the mathematician will tell us, correct? But the linguistic person will say that that is wrong, because the question did not say that they plowed the same farm. It just said, how long will it take for them to do it? Do what? So The linguist will argue that it is not 40 minutes, it is undetermined. So two solutions or two responses. The liberal that wants to be politically correct will tell us that the fact that we have looked at these pictures, that we are assuming the genders of the farmers, that the farmers could be binary or non-binary, or they could be female, is it because they are wearing a hat? They could be transgender. So we are assuming that they are both male. Therefore, there cannot be a solution to that. Meanwhile, that's the third response. Another person comes up and says, oh, two men coming together to work a farm, I'm sure their wives are present and they brought the children along. So they played and they talked about where they're going to spend summer together, and they spent more than 40 minutes to conclude the farm. Another person comes up and says, no, you all are wrong. It is not 40 minutes. It is not based on the theories that you guys are saying. I am the spiritual person. One will put to flight 1,000. Two will put to flight 10,000. Meaning that if one person can do it at this rate, when they come together, they will encourage themselves. They will get it done faster than 40 minutes, you know. And the feminist comes up and says, she's sure they are both women, and what a man can do, a woman can do better. So it's still going to go better than what the spiritual person has said. And you see that just to till the land, there is a lot of confusion, if you will. You know, the mathematician will stand by his own position. The liberal will stand by his own position. Every group, the linguist, every group think they are right. Where are we going with this? Just till the land. Just walk the land. Because that's the bottom line. Whether it's going to take 40 minutes, whether it's going to take 2 hours, just walk the land and stop arguing. Stop arguing. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Joel 2, 23 says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floors shall be full of wheat. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your floors will be full of wheat. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Your vats will overflow with new wine and oil in the mighty name of Jesus. And it goes on to say, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. So God is going to restore to you today and this season in the mighty name of Jesus. So we're going to explain that the land represents many things for us. For obvious deductions, the land could be your business. The land could be your work, your career, whatever you lay your hands upon. The land could be your mind, your education, and on and on and on. And no matter how you look at it, whether you want to approach it as the mathematician or as the linguist or as the spiritual person or as the feminist or as the however you want to approach it, just roll up your sleeves and start walking your land. Start walking your land. Start putting in the work. Because the significance of the rain is that the blessings of God are going to come upon your land in the name of Jesus. The life of God, the growth of God, the renewal, the provision, the abundance are going to come into your land in the mighty name of Jesus. So we see that when God wants to help a man, a person, he sends rain. That's why you will hear prayers that God will bless the works of your hands. But there must be something you are bringing before him. And everything you've brought before him, his blessings will consistently rest upon in the name of Jesus. So we explained the SLS of abundance. You see, when we look at abundance, when we think of abundance, you know, I was speaking to someone and we were talking about the challenge with believers of our generation that just want a breakthrough. They just want a miracle. It's as though God is a magician. Oh, this person gave this testimony. Therefore, I received the breakthrough. And people, many times, don't really understand how God orchestrates abundance. Abundance is an orchestration. It's an orchestration. And the SLS of abundance breaks it down for us. S is for what? The first S is for what again? Systems. And the L is for land. Then the second S is seed. System. Job 36:26 says, look, God is greater than what we can understand. His years cannot be counted. He draws up the water vapor and then distills it into rain. Then rain pours down from the clouds and everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. So the rain shows us that God is a God of systems. And if you put up the water cycle, we see that it's a system that God has put in place. Water from the sea evaporating, condensing, precipitating, coming back into the sea, and we see the rain comes on the land. It comes back into the sea, and it goes on and on. It is a system. It's a system. And God said to the Jews in Joshua 5 that we read on Sunday, Joshua 5:11, that as you enter the promised land, you will eat of the fruit of the land. Then you begin to walk the land. And when they enter the promised land, guess what? The manna ceased. Manna stopped. Manna actually stopped. And the significance of that is that manna represents miracles that you have no impute. I mean, it just happens. God just opens the door, just sends the manna from heaven. But God wants you to grow up. God wants you to be like him. God wants you to be more like him. So God wants you to know how to orchestrate abundance. So God said to them, you are going to sow, then you are going to reap, then you are going to eat the good of the land. So God was saying, you are going to participate in the orchestration of the abundance, it doesn't replace the place of God, because the cycle of the rain is God controlled. But God is saying, unlike manna that just falls and you have no part in it, you have no input in it, but where I am taking you to, what I want done, you have to participate. So we see that, and this is so big, that the rain is a system. Manna is a miracle. The rain is a system. God obviously is a God of miracles, right? God of miracles. Now my Baba, oh. But that God of miracles wants you to understand that I'm also the God of systems. So God of systems, oh. Now my Baba, oh. That probably should be our songs. Because you will get more done by systems than you will get done by miracles. You will achieve much more on earth by systems than you will achieve by miracles. And that is the challenge that we see. Many times as believers, we just want to achieve everything by miracles. And God is saying, there's a place for miracles, and we need miracles, right? But God is a God of systems, and he wants you to understand that you will achieve much more for him by putting systems in place. Systems are people agnostic. They are sentiment agnostic. They don't discriminate. And God wants to partner. And that is how systems, interconnected systems work. It's a synergy of systems. The human body is a synergy of systems. It's a synergy of systems. So you have respiratory system, like we explained, taking oxygen out, mainly carbon dioxide, right? Now, oxygen gets to your bloodstream. The lungs, the blood vessels, they absorb it, right? It goes into your bloodstream. From your bloodstream, gets to your brain. From your brain and every part of your body. So it gets to the digestive system, the nervous system, and all the other systems are interconnected. So if we put up the image of the gear, so God wants us to understand that it is an interconnected system. Let's assume that number one is the rain, and number three is the abundance. You see, it's the big fat one, right? Number one is the rain, number three is the abundance, but number two has to be the land. So as the rain happens, it must connect to number two, to the land. You may not be able to bring the rain. It's a system that God has put in place by himself. It goes on the land. Then the land will produce abundance. So as one turns clockwise, two turns counterclockwise, and three turns clockwise. So the rain, the system of God, must interconnect with your land, the system of man, the system that God wants you to put in place. If you don't have a system that you have put in place, that when the rain comes upon, triggers stuff, that is what is cut out for us. So instead of being like the mathematician arguing that no, it's going to be 40 minutes, The linguist say, no, it's undetermined. The spiritual person says, oh, it is less than 40 minutes. The other person says, oh, no, it's going to take hours because women are involved. No pun intended. We can argue and argue, keep arguing, but nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. God wants us to link up and walk the land. Link up and connect to his system and produce abundance. Hallelujah. So the question is, what production system are you hooking up to the rain? What production system are you hooking up to the rain? The rain is here, is upon us, it's started falling, it's continued to fall. What are you hooking up to it? That's big. Like I said, it could be your education. It could be your profession. It could be you being entrepreneurial. My prayer is that the rain will not be wasted in your life in the name of Jesus. What are you hooking up to it? Because enough of us praying for manna. We should start praying for the rain, engaging the rain. And so what that means is this. We are not here for manna. We are here for the rain. We are here for the rain. Meaning there's a God part and there's a man part. I will set up my systems. I will set up my streams of income. I will set up my business. I will set up my farm. I will set up my land. Which brings us to the L of the SLS of abundance. I will set up my land. The land is the interconnection, really, is what in the gear system is what connects the grain system to what produces abundance, which it is the land that is the connection. So the land is the connection, it's the handshake between God's system of abundance. And God mainly gives rain to the land. The purpose, the main purpose, there are probably other purposes, but the main purpose of rain is for the land. It's not for you to take a shower. Go take a shower in your house. Or go and jump into the pool. The purpose of the rain is the land. And the land requires work. You have to work the land. The land does not require argument. The land does not require speculation, does not require analysis, as in infinite analysis. We can argue again back to our story of the mathematician, the linguist, the liberal, the spiritual person. We can argue who is right. It doesn't matter. The land has to be worked. The land has to be cultivated. The land has to be protected from all sorts of things, pests. The land has to be nurtured. The land has to be fertilized. The land has to be irrigated. The land has to be taken care of. Who is taking care of your land? Who is taking care of your land? How are you taking care of your land? How are you ensuring that your land is getting the maximum benefit from the rain? And like we explained on Sunday, that the land is a spiritual entity and it is affected directly by either righteousness or sin. Sin directly affects the land. We read Leviticus 18:25 that says to us that the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity, therefore upon it. So when a land is defiled, God punishes the land. The land is defiled by the people, right, men, but God punishes the land. The land gets visited, you know. Then the land, after a while, begin to evict the people on the land. Your land will not evict you in the name of Jesus. And the land itself vomits out the inhabitants. Everyone that has plotted evil against you and is plotting evil against you, their land will vomit them in the name of Jesus. I'll say a big amen. 2 Kings 2:19 says, the people, I mean, look at the, another dynamic of the land. The people came to Elisha and said, look, our Lord, this town is well situated. This land, this town is well situated. As you can see, it's strategically positioned. He says, however, the water is bad and the land is unfruitful, it's unproductive. So spiritual irresponsibility affects the land. Spiritual irresponsibility makes people's heavens close up. I pray for mercy again for you in the name of Jesus, that the mercy of God will be consistent in your life. You know? Why can't we just continue as we are? I mean, I've had several conversations, like I said, with very well-to-do people. Very well-to-do. But Christians living anyhow they want to live. And they say to me, but Pastor, God's grace is available. I mean, why do I need to be upright? Grace covers it. I can cheat whoever I want to cheat. I can defraud whoever I want. They don't say it like that, but I mean, I can defraud whoever I want to defraud. I can commit whatever atrocity I want to commit. But grace is there. You know, the problem is that, again, I've been around for a while. You know, many of you know I'm going to be 50, right, in a few days. I've been around for a while. Not too long, but for a while enough. I've seen things. I've seen people, good people, that took these principles for granted. I've seen them eat grass, literally eat grass. I've seen people that were buoyant, wealthy, disregard the principles of heaven. I've seen them come to penury, to nothing. Why? Because their land began to evict them. Because their heavens began to shut over them. Your heavens will be opened in the name of Jesus. Your land will not vomit you. I've seen a bit. But again, the word of God cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be broken. However, you know, like I said to my friends, I mean, to these folks, it is not too late with God. You know, someone said to me, oh, what all I've done, can God forgive me, Pastor? Is it possible? And I said to him that the question is not, can God forgive you? The question is, can you repent? It's not, the question is, can you repent? I said, yes, I'm ready to repent. I said, then God can forgive you. Because God's mercies are everlasting. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says in 2 Chronicles 7, from verse 13, he says, if I shut the heavens so that there is no rain, underlined. It says, but if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. So you see that pride is a problem for a lot of people. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It says, then I will hear from heaven. And I will what? Forgive their sins and heal their land. So if you can, and you see that the key there is humble yourself, pray, turn from your wicked ways. So that turning is the repentance. Some people like to humble and pray, but they don't want to turn. So it's not complete. So you have to humble, you have to pray, then you have to turn. You have to turn, seek his face, and turn. That is when repentance happens. When you turn from your wicked ways, it says, then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive your sins, and he will heal your land. Why? Because if the land is healed, the rain will fall. Hallelujah. If the land is healed, the rain will fall. And as the rain is falling, as your land gets healed and gets worked and gets cultivated, gets fertilized and gets all that, it leads us to the third thing, which is the seed. The seed. Isaiah 55:10. Rain and snow fall from the sky. Isaiah 55:10. And don't return until they have watered the ground. It says, then the ground causes the plants to sprout and grow, and they produce seeds for the farmer, food for the eater. So much in there. God sends his rain. It comes on the ground, on the land. Then the land causes whatever is in it to grow, to sprout and grow. Question, what is in your land? What seed is in your land? That is what will sprout and grow. Some people, the only seeds they have in their land is gossip, backbiting. Some parents, the seed they've planted in their children are seeds of destruction, abuses, curses. I'm praying today that every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up in the name of Jesus. Every of such seeds, let them be rooted up. Why? Because when the rain is, it's an equal employer of labor. It does not discriminate. The rain does not discriminate. Once the rain comes, it is whatever that is there that will grow. You've seen a lot of people's land. Weeds, that's all that is there. When the rain comes on that land, it doesn't say, oh land, what is inside? Oh, it's bad seed. I won't let it not grow. It doesn't do that. Systems are agnostic of so many things. Systems are not biased. That's why if you set up systems in your businesses, a lot of businesses don't scale because they are not systemized. A lot of people run their businesses on sentiment. Oh, it is my townsman. Oh, it's my townsperson. Let me employ him. Oh, no. Is he qualified? Can he do the job? Does he have integrity? It doesn't matter where he's from. I don't care where people are from. You shouldn't. That's why a lot of people are in trouble in several areas. Why? Because their land is not systemized. Their land is built on sentiments and emotions. Systems are emotionless. Systems are emotionless. What needs to be done will be done regardless of how you feel. But consider my feelings. Honestly, are not important. Your feelings are not important. Systemize. Get the work done. Whatever is in the land will grow. Once the rain comes on the land, it will grow. And when you have good seeds in the land, some people have spoken good words to their children, only encouraging words, words that are life-giving. They are seeds of greatness. Once this rain is coming upon it, guess what? It will sprout and it will grow in the name of Jesus. So there are twigs of weeds. There are seeds of weeds. And every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And sometimes you do your job. You plow your ground. You take care of the weeds. You uproot the weeds. You prepare your soil. You plow yourself in righteousness. You sow your seeds. And the rain is falling, but inadvertently, because we are humans, sometimes we go to sleep. And the Bible says that when men slept, even though the land has been cultivated, the land has been cleared, the land has been purified of weeds, good seeds are in the land. When men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears among the seeds, weeds among the wheat. So sometimes you have to stay alert. Watch over your children. Watch over your spouses. Watch over your land. Why? Because if you snooze, you lose. If you snooze, you lose. If you snooze, there are people that just want to put sand inside your gari and they will fail in the name of Jesus. You know, because that's how it is. Some folks are just waiting for you to look away so they can plant weeds. Again, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up in the name of Jesus. Shall be rooted up. What are you planting? What are you planting? In your land, what are you planting? Concerning your destiny, what are you planting? What are you planting? That's the question. We have to be deliberate. So, what seeds are you planting? What seeds are you planting? And God Himself is planting seeds of greatness in you. God Himself is planting seeds. Every time this Christmas season, opportunity for us to plant seeds. All the Christmas initiatives that we are doing, opportunity for us to plant seeds. Every time and again, we have the opportunity to give to God, opportunity for us to plant seeds. Every harvest has two components. The scripture, Isaiah 55, has seed and has food. Every harvest you get has seed and has food. Don't eat the food and the seed. God Himself wanted a family. What did He do? He planted a seed. He gave His son. his only son, so that you and I can come to repentance today. And I pray that every seed of God in you will taste rain today in the name of Jesus. The seeds of greatness in you will taste God's rain. The seed of potential will taste God's rain. The seeds of God's abundance in you will come to fruition in the mighty name of Jesus. So we see that God sends rain. Joel 2, it says, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. And that rain, the rain, is the former rain and the latter rain together in the first month, and your floors shall be full of wheat in the name of Jesus, and your vats shall overflow with wine and oil. So, real quick refresher, the former rain falls, like we said, to trigger the agricultural season, and it falls that the seed may germinate. The former rain will fall that the seeds will germinate. You are planting seeds, but it hasn't germinated. Beginning from today, in the name of Jesus, your seeds will germinate. You will experience the fertilizing showers, the fertilizing rain in the name of Jesus. Do you receive that this morning? Hallelujah. Why? Because unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. There will be no life. The seeds will just be going. There will be no life. And that applies to everything. But today, your life will experience the fertilizing rain in the name of Jesus. The latter rain, on the other hand, is the harvest rain. It's the rain that ripens the fruit and prepares it for harvest. It is called the ripening showers. The ripening showers. So unless the former rain has done its work, the latter rain can bring no fruit to harvest. So they work together. So I pray that you will have both the fertilizing rain, the former rain, and the ripening rain, the latter rain, in the name of Jesus. And God will bring the two together. When that happens, your life will just pick up and begin to make progress. Your life will just begin to make progress. And so it is and shall be, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are not talking about a drop. We are talking about the showers. The showers of blessings. We are not talking about a drizzle. We are talking about the torrent of blessings. Hallelujah. So God has good things in store for you. I want you to realize that you are not an accident. You are not going to, your life is not going to be meaningless. Oh, no, 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 no. Your life will be significant. Your life will be meaningful. You are not an accident. You are not just roaming around, hoping and wishing something will happen. No, 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 no. Your life will be deliberate, will be great, will be filled with God's abundance in the name of Jesus. So as we engage the SLS of abundance, the system, the land, and the seed, we begin to see abundance in every area in the name of Jesus. Let's not be like the mathematician or linguist or the socialist or all spiritual person, all the people arguing. Let's engage. Let's walk the word and see how God will beautify our lives. I want to pray with you. If you're here, you're like, Pastor, I need to start a walk with God. I need to start a walk with God. I need to come into this realization. If I look at my life, it's like just filled with weeds, just filled with thorns. God wants to turn your story around. I want to pray with you. I'm like, Pastor, pray with me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I used to be with God, but I've backslidden. I'm not with him anymore. Can I come back? Yes, you can, my brother. Yes, you can come back. The app is going to come up and take over, and we'll pray with you, and your life will be transformed.
Pray along with me and say, Father, I come before you, even right now, as a sinner, and I know that only you can help me. I bring myself before you. I submit to your will today. I ask that you renew my heart. Wash me in your blood. Cause me to become a brand new person. I want to begin to walk with you. Help me, and God will help you in the mighty name of Jesus.